be the lead singer, and it just doesn't work out. So Luke chapter number 2 tonight. Luke chapter number 2. Luke chapter number 2, we're going to look at verses 9 through 14 this evening, and the story kind of tells itself. The angel comes, and the angel has an announcement for the world. He appears to the shepherds first, and it's sort of like Brother Joe was talking about, that silent night. And I'm sure as a shepherd, it's not really going to be silent. I'm sure there's going to be noise. There's going to be the sheep making noise. But their lives were turned upside down that night. Everything had changed when they heard this message. And the same message that we heard, and when we heard it, and if we believed and trust in Jesus Christ, our lives were turned upside down also. It's kind of neat to hear the story about silent night, and as you sing it, it kind of makes you remember how God can give us exactly what we need when we need it. And sometimes we feel like we're going through a hard time, things are so horrible and things are so bad, but God gives exactly what we need when we need it. And sometimes he takes certain things away or causes certain things to happen to help us in other ways and to give us even something better. I can imagine that pastor would have gone through that a million times. We'll get music and words like that, and just because of the difference he can make. And sometimes when there's challenges in our lives, we look past what God can do and how God can work. And that's the whole story of Christmas. You see what Joseph went through, what Mary went through, and even what the wise men went through, even the shepherds here, and how even we talked about Simeon, we talked about Anna. None of the circumstances were tailor-made, but God was able to present some circumstances that were challenging, and God was able to use those people to do something great and wonderful that people have been talking about for years upon years upon years. And once again, as we look at this, we're calling it the first Christmas carol, talking about when the angels began to praise and glorify God in verse number 14, and it says, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill to men." We're calling that the first Christmas carol. And I love Christmas time, and I love Christmas carols because they have so much doctrine in them. Christmas hymns that have so much great truth. And I don't know about you, you might think I'm a little bit weird, but I love going to Walmart and hearing them preaching the gospel or wherever in these stores. They don't even realize that when they're singing the Christmas hymns, they're telling the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. They don't understand it. Now, I know it's probably mixed in with a bunch of junk and other secular stuff, but then there's some Christmas truth that comes through with it. They wouldn't allow you to say that out loud in Walmart. They wouldn't allow you to talk about it as an employee, but you know what? They can play it over the loudspeaker. And that always kind of makes me smile and say, man, I can't believe they're playing that. That's great. That's wonderful. Maybe someday they'll clue in and stop taking out the Christmas hymns, but I hope not, because I enjoy that too. And especially in a conservative, you know, state and kind of conservative state, at least around many conservative people, those are things that people enjoy hearing, and I hope they always play it. And so that's what we'll look at tonight, the first Christmas carol. And I don't believe the message will be long. It usually isn't on Christmas Eve, but there's some great Bible truths, and we're going to read the whole passage, and then we're just going to walk through it, just giving the thoughts that go along with the first Christmas carol. Luke chapter number 2, verse number 9, "And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray as we got many things, I'm sure, that's racing through our minds and things that are just excited about, things we need to get done, things that we're looking forward to, things maybe that are challenging even right now in our lives. Lord, I pray that we calm our hearts and our minds, and Lord, that we listen to the Word of God. We go back with those shepherds and hear what the angel had to say and how the angels praised God. And Lord, that we would leave this place just rejoicing in the fact that a Savior was born. Not just any Savior, the Christ, the Lord. Lord, speak to people's hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. I probably should have included verse number 8 in there. As I was reading, I thought, well, verse number 8 would have at least given a little bit better understanding who the angel was talking to, so we'll start there. And it says in verse number 8, and there were in the same country. What same country are you talking about? It was Bethlehem, which was found in verses 1 through 7. Shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. Once again, probably just doing their normal work, everything probably going well, and then their world is turned upside down when it says verse number 9. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them. And once again, on Wednesday night, I alluded a little bit to this. Can you imagine what it would have been like out there, I guess, keeping the sheep? Maybe some were sleeping. Maybe they were taking turns and watching. It does use the idea that they're shepherds, so there's multiple people there. And it says, came upon them. And can you imagine what it would have been like? Then it says, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. So what does that mean? Maybe the Shekinah glory that's talked about, just the glorification of God that's there with the angels. And you can imagine the impressive sight that was. And then it says, and they were sore afraid. So you look at their reaction. They're terrified. Maybe they were sleeping. They were woken out of their sleep. In the least, they wasn't expecting this. And the angel said unto them, fear not. The shepherds don't have anything to be afraid of. Over and over in the Bible, when an angel comes to give a message, and the words are, fear not, because it's a message from the Lord. Now, there are some things that we need to be afraid of if you don't believe. There are some things that you need to be concerned about if you don't have your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. But the message that they were giving to the shepherds were here, hey, look, don't be afraid of us. We're not going to hurt you. Fear not. Then it continues on, for behold, I bring you good tidings. Now, this is good tidings. This means good news. The angels is coming. He says, I'm not prophesying like I was. Wasn't telling people like they told Abraham and Lot, Abraham about Lot and the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. He says, look, you don't have to be afraid. This is good news. And not only is it good news, it's good news of, look what it says, of great joy. So it's not just something that is just maybe a little bit and simple. Here's some good news. We can smile over it, be happy. It's actually great joy. If you look up that word, it's talking about exceedingly great joy. And it's the greatest message that can ever be given. And then it goes on. It says, a great joy. And I like this next phrase, which shall be to all people. I love the fact that this message is for everyone. It is. And to be honest with you, I know there's some people, and I'm not picking on other people and other doctrines and other people's beliefs, but when I look at that verse, it says to all people. Now, if God really truly did choose a certain amount of people that could get saved, and only they could get saved, would this be good news for all people? It wouldn't be. It would be a real bummer is that, hey, this group can get saved. It's good to them, but it's not good for you. And it says, and then it continues on, not only does it include the world, it continues on, and then it makes it personal. For unto you is born. He's not talking about, it doesn't say shepherd, it's shepherds. And he says, for unto you is born, because it is a personal relationship. It is good news, it is good tidings of great joy, because Jesus came into the world to die for all and for the sins of mankind. But the only way it's going to be good news of great joy, the only way it's going to be peace on earth for you is if you believe. And then continues on, and he makes it personal. He says, for unto you is born this day. There is a responsibility that's given to you when the truth is given. For unto you is born this day in the city of David. We also know that as Bethlehem. And then you see the three names that is given here about the babe. First, a Savior. I love that name. It's beautiful. It just gives the idea that someone who's going to rescue us. That's the whole idea of what salvation is. The entire mankind has been placed on a journey at birth when the sin nature has been passed down from generation through generation through men, and they're all headed to a horrible place called hell. Everyone is. And the only way we can get off, the only thing that can get us off that place on that road to hell is to be rescued, is to be saved from our sins. To be saved from the penalty of our sins. And as all mankind is headed to that horrible place, there is one who could come to the world and be the Savior. There is one who could be that sinless sacrifice because he was virgin born. There is one who has the strength and the power to take you off that road to hell and put you onto the road of heaven. And that's Jesus Christ that's mentioned here. It's a Savior. And then he uses the word the Christ. And what is it? It goes on, it says, which is Christ. And what does Christ mean? to a person that is Jewish, it would know it's the Messiah. It's the office of the Messiah, the one they're looking for, the one who's going to redeem them. The one, and once again, most of the people that day, even his own personal disciples, thought, hey, he's kind of come and overcome Rome, and he's going to become a political leader. But Jesus says someday he's going to come back in that way, in that power, and he is going to rule the world. But this time he came to take care of the spiritual issues of the world and to die for the sins of mankind and to provide a way to heaven. And that's what he's saying, which is Christ, the Messiah, but also the Lord. He didn't send someone else. He didn't send an angel. He didn't raise up an individual. He himself, God himself, came into flesh, came in the flesh for us. He did not stop being God. He robed his deity in flesh, and he is the Lord. And so that's what they're telling the shepherd. Look, he's the one that's going to save. He's the Messiah, but he is also God. He's the Lord. He's the one that controls all things. As we are hearing about the song and talking about how he controls the world and he does all these different things. And that was the child that was laying there that day. And then you continue on. It says, and this shall be a sign unto you, saying, here's how you can find out who it is. Because I'm sure that evening somewhere there might have been another child being born. But look at what he says. Ye shall find the babe. I think it's interesting here. He says, ye shall find the babe. What's the anticipation is? They're going to go. They're going to go and they're going to find the babe. And they know what's going to happen because, once again, it's a personal thing. And ye shall find the babe. And then you look at it, wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. When you read that, you consider the humbleness and the humility that God, when he became man for us or was robed in flesh for us, how far he had to go down to from God all the way to man, but not just becoming man, but he could have came in all his power, he could have came in all his might, he could have been glorified, he could have been lifted up, but no, he chose to live a humble life. And not even just humble, he took it a step farther to where he was wrapped in his swaddling clothes and he was lying in a spot where the animals would eat out of. Not very many children are born that way, but he's showing us how a humble person can be exalted. Verse 13, and suddenly, and I can imagine you're sitting there and they're overwhelmed by just the one, the angel of the Lord there with the glory of God all about them. And I'm sure they're impressed with that one that's there. And then it continues on and says, suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host. Now it doesn't say just one, doesn't just say a few, it says a multitude. I believe that word multitude there is talking about it's filling the area where the angels are at. And they're there, and they're there with the multitude, and they are filling the spot. It's completely full. And I know some people think it was, you know, multitude being so many that everybody else would have seen them. But we're only recorded here that it was that area, and the sky was completely filled. And well, look what they're doing. This is a heavenly host praising God. They're in his presence all the time. And they think he is worthy. We should also. And then look at what if you want to say this is the first Christmas carol, look what it says. And sang. I know you're saying it's sang. How can it be a Christmas carol if they're sang? I like to think they were singing it, but who am I? It says, glory to God in the highest. So they're praising him. They're singing glory to God. That word glory means to honor, to respect God, to lift God high and lift it up. So in that first Christmas carol, the angels who were in his presence, the angels who was following the responsibilities they had, they're obedient, they're there, and they're holding back, and they're waiting, and you can imagine what it must have been like in heaven. Can you imagine, just use your sanctified imagination for a second, they saw Adam and Eve sin in the garden. They saw that there was going to be a Messiah coming because of the promise. And they went through all those thousands of years, and they knew that the God's Son, the Holy Prince of Heaven, was going to be born in a stable, in a manger. And that night, they got the opportunity to proclaim it to a group of shepherds. And once again, I don't know much about angels, but if they can sing their hearts out, I bet you they're singing their heart out to these people saying, glory to God. They're saying God is worthy of all honor. God is worthy of all praise. God is should be lifted up in our life. Glory to God. And then you use that word, it says, in the highest. It's referring to the fact that it's not just any other God, because there's a lot of other false gods out there. There's a lot of other little g gods out there. They says, no, we're not talking about that. We're not praising and singing anyone. We're talking about glory to God and the highest. And then the Christmas carol continues on and says, on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. You see that word, on earth, peace. I know sometimes peace is something that is leaves us, or we don't feel like we have much peace. There's much turmoil in our life. But the message for the angels that day was that there can be peace on earth. And then look what it says, goodwill towards men. God's will for men is something that is good. So we're going to look at this verse for just a minute or two. First thing I want you to think about is glory to God and the highest. So if the angels that night was glorifying God, and the message was glory to God on the highest, how do we glorify God? And how do we bring the application of this story to us? Well, there's a Savior there. That Savior is necessary for the world. The first application is, do you know Jesus Christ? Have you ever accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Because like I said, I mentioned, we all have that sin problem. We're all headed to that horrible place called hell. Until we realize that we're sinners, we're convicted of our sin, and we ask Jesus Christ to save us of our sins because of what he did on the cross for us, that's what it means by a Savior of the world. That's the first application. If you do not know him tonight, the greatest thing you can do in your life is put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. It was a great thing I did marrying my wife. It was great opportunities and great events when Christian was born and even when Andrew was born. It was a great offer. It was wonderful. Some of the greatest things that ever happened to me. But the greatest decision I ever made, the greatest thing that ever happened in my life was when God convicted my heart of that I needed Jesus Christ, and I responded with, yes, Lord, I understand that I'm a sinner. I see who I am. I see who you are. And Lord, I put my faith and trust in you. The greatest thing I ever did. That's the first application. Now, for a believer, here's the question is how are we going to glorify God? It's Christmas night here. I know we always make a big deal of Christmas morning, but it's in the evening time when Christ was born. At least that's what it seems like. It was in the evening time. And when the angels are saying, for unto you is born this day, they go and look for it. It could have been in the morning time, it could have been a day, but at the same time, most people think it was in the evening, so the angels, they're keeping their shepherds by watch over the flock by night. That's found in verse number 8. So he's there, it's in the evening time, and then it's like, how am I going to glorify God? The angel says, glory to God. They're responsible. They follow his will all the time. How about us? How can you bring glory to God tomorrow? How is it that you can? That's what we need to look in our lives. It's like, what can I do in my life today that's going to glorify God today? You know, Pastor, that seems a little bit odd. Well, the Bible itself says, whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. So if they're talking about your eating and drinking, which is some of the most basic things that we all do, that there are whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. So I'm not trying to damper your plans. I'm not saying that you need to go sit in a room and meditate all day tomorrow. I'm saying your actions and how you're following and you're interacting with your family, interacting with your friends. What are the things I can say? What are the things I can do? What is my life that I can do to bring glory to God tomorrow? Because that's what the first Christmas carol was about. Glory to God in the highest. And then this idea of peace on earth. That seems like a joke. The day and time we live in, there's not much peace. There's turmoil all around us. You just go and sit there and watch people sometimes in the shopping centers, especially when people are busy. I was talking to somebody today, and I mentioned that there was a family that was in the air that was in the airport, and they says, I wouldn't take my kids to the airport. He says, they're having fights and they're arguing this and that. And I said, that's everywhere. There's a lot of turmoil in the world today. And I said, as the world grows farther and farther away from the Lord, especially as America grows farther and deeper into sin, you're going to see people acting more and more like their father, the devil. And they're going to be more and more angry. They're going to be more and more wicked. You're going to see violence all around us. And you're not going to see much peace. But there's a promise that God gives us. And that's a promise of peace. Think about what the Bible says. Thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. The scripture is saying that you can have that perfect peace, that peace that passeth all understanding, that peace when we do not have to be careful for anything. The Bible says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. It's amazing that the peace that God offers. And even though that the world's going through such craziness, we can have peace as a believer and as a Christian. What a wonderful Christmas carol. We can glorify God with our lives, and he can give us peace on this earth. And then it continues on. Goodwill to men, toward men. I believe God's will is that all men would come to repentance. The Bible even says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The Bible says that God's desire is for each person to turn to him and to believe in him and to trust in him. Have you done that tonight? That's when my mind, the way I look at the first Christmas carol. Once again, I like Christmas carols. I like even going Christmas caroling. You can go out there, and you know what? No matter how bad you sound singing, if you get a group of people out there in the cold air, and you're out there singing Christmas carols, you all sound good. You all sound like you're on tune and on note and everything. It's a lot of fun to be an encouragement to other people that way. And you're giving good doctrine throughout that whole entire time. So their lives that night were changed forever because they went and they saw the Christ. Our lives are changed forever when we choose to believe in him and put our faith in him. So as we consider this first Christmas carol, ask yourself these questions. Number one, do I have that peace that the Bible talks about? Do I know for sure if I die today that I would go to heaven? The Bible says you can know that. The Bible says that you can know that you have eternal life. We'd love to have somebody take a Bible and show you how you can be saved. And let me also encourage, no matter how young or how old you are, you can accept Christ. And sometimes as a young person, they hear this story and they want to put it off, and they want to put it off, and they want to put it off. But if God's convicting your heart and God's speaking to you now, don't put this off. You have no promise of tomorrow. And even whether you're 8 to 10 to 10 to 15, 15 to 20, or if you're 70 to 80, you think you still got more time. It's not like we choose. God convicts our heart. God is the one that draws us. Don't keep on pushing God off. So if you don't know him, get that settled tonight. Secondly, am I bringing glory to God with my actions? Sometimes the things we say, sometimes the way we act, doesn't glorify God. It doesn't lift him up. He's not honored. He's not shown respect with the way things we act. So tomorrow, and this is a great day to be able to serve the Lord. Every day is a great day to serve the Lord, but on Christmas, to show that light that he's put in us. Shine that light. Don't put it underneath the candle. Don't put it underneath the bed. Don't let Satan blow it out or whatever. And then also, that peace. Do you have peace in your life? Peace on earth. Someday it's going to be really peaceful. Someday it's going to be perfect. But the Bible says that we can have perfect peace here today. Even though other people have turmoil, we can have that perfect peace. Don't let things distract you. Don't let things pull you apart. Be careful for nothing means I'm not going to be worried. I'm going to give it all over to him and trust in him and him alone. And he's going to take care of me. And that can give us that peace that passeth all understanding. Remember, God's will and desire for your life is that you would turn to him and put your faith and trust in him. Let's pray.